This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Wrapping up our education series, Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District. Thanks for coming in.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me. Thank you very much, Kyle.
So to start off, because people still, especially if they're newer to the area, ask exactly what is an ESD and what does it do?
Well, an ESD stands for Education Service District, and we are a group of people that are dedicated to providing cooperative services to school districts, but we also have a number of contracts with the Department of Education at the state and other state-level agencies to provide services to families, students, and school districts in a bunch of different areas. But primarily, we do a lot of special education. We hire speech-language pathologists. We have behavioral interventionists. We do all of the early intervention and early childhood special education for Douglas and Jackson counties. All in all, it leads us to have about 250 employees.
And one of the ideas behind that, it seemed like, was especially in some of these specialties like you just mentioned, that maybe smaller districts, it would make more sense because you might have folks working in multiple schools, multiple districts, things like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, it wouldn't make sense for most of the districts in Douglas County to have their own speech pathologist. They don't need a full-time one. They don't need a full-time networking person or network analyst, for example. And there's just really a variety of positions that the little districts in particular in our county don't need. And that's the benefit to them. They don't have to hire a full-time FTE in order to be able to get that service for their kids. The other advantage for districts like Roseburg is that since we have a professional administrative staff that specializes in special education and also may, in the case of the speech-language pathology, who's also trained in SLP, you get professional administration and professional supervision of all of those people, you know, whether it's IT or speech pathology, that really benefits even the large districts.
So a lot of things to cover with ESD. One of the things that made the news recently was some changes with the foster education program and working with the Roseburg District and the county and other.
Yes, we've got a great new partnership started here, and it's a long story, and I won't go into that, but basically how we got there. But I give a lot of credit to Commissioner Freeman and to Eric Fromdahl, who's at the Douglas County Juvenile Justice. Douglas County Juvenile Justice has been housing foster education children at three different locations here in Roseburg, right around the courthouse. And they've been doing a great job of that for quite some time. It really became apparent recently that the liability for educating those kids was a big deal. It was a bigger deal than the district was being provided enough resources to be able to accomplish effectively. So the ESD was asked to come in. And we are now providing the educational services at Rose School. The downstairs of Rose School has four new classrooms, or they've always had four classrooms, but we've renovated some of those classrooms along with Roseburg Public Schools and are providing educational supports to those children. Those kids that are housed in Douglas County are what are known as BRS level 6. And in DHS speak, what that means is that they really have a very high degree of behavioral problems. And you can imagine many foster kids have absolutely horrific childhoods that cause them to be in the custody of the state. They have all kinds of trauma and all kinds of behavioral issues that can arise because of that trauma. We're really specialists in being able to help kids deal with those things. So we've been involved with some additional dollars brought to the table by DHS in providing those educational supports. And I'm very, very excited about the partnership we have with all the players in that.
So do you feel like you'll be getting on a long-term basis some additional money allocated from DHS for that, or is that kind of still under discussion?
Well, it's. I think what we're doing is we're establishing a pilot program that could be replicated across the state. The cost to DHS of sending kids out of the state of Oregon, there was a recent OPB article that showed a map of where DHS foster kids end up getting shipped, and sometimes as far away as Tennessee and Iowa and Nevada. And it's not impossible to lose track of those kids when they're shipped so far away from Oregon and they're primary caseworkers. So I think this is an opportunity to provide, and it's very expensive. I should also throw that in to do that. Then you've probably heard about the situations where they've had to at times house kids in hotel rooms with DHS workers in pairs overseeing them. And, you know, that's just a crappy situation that for the school district or not for, or for DHS and for the kids. And no one thinks it's anything but that. But this would really create a model that could be replicated statewide. It would be cheaper than both of those options. And it would provide the level of supports to kids that are in the foster system that would be so much higher than what they've been able to get previously. It's just very exciting.
What about in the area of preschool? You've got something called the Preschool Promise Program. Explain what that is and what it does.
Preschool Promise is a new, it's a program that's about 3 years old. It's funded by the Early Learning Division of the state of Oregon. The legislature has given money to them to distribute in different places across the state. This Preschool Promise, before I get on to that, we have, I think, six sites in Douglas County that are providing preschool in their communities. There's Yonkala, Drain, Elkton, Sutherland, South Umpqua. There's also one with the tribe in Myrtle Creek, who all have Preschool Promise sites. They're educating up to 19 kids in preschool, and it's a very standards-based program. It's very, very high quality, and that's with the latest legislative session, that's looking to expand by about 3,500 students or kids across the state of Oregon. We're hoping to apply for that and get some more slots in Douglas County, so there'll be more opportunities for families to have preschool in their communities, including Roseburg.
Are you seeing the need for more resources down to the preschool level?
Oh, absolutely. Douglas County, along with a lot of other counties in the state of Oregon, is a child care desert, and that includes preschool. There's meaning that there are so many families that want preschool for their children but either cannot afford it or it's just simply unavailable because those that are providing preschool are completely full.
All right. Along the same lines, let's talk about early childhood special education. Again, one of those areas that you probably, working with multiple districts, can create something versus each district trying to do it themselves.
Oh, exactly. And that's really the model that the state has enforced across the entire state. The state of Oregon has enforced. We provide in Douglas and Jackson County, so down in the Medford area, we provide all of the evaluations for children that where families or doctors or even just concerned friends can refer a child to our early intervention program for evaluation, meaning that if you suspect that a child, a neighboring child, or your own child, or your grandchild has some developmental delay, you can have, for absolutely no money at all, you can have them evaluated to make sure that they're keeping up with their peers and that they are at the developmental level that they should be. So we're getting a lot more referrals from, in the last few years, from physicians. We do a lot of outreach in order to remind people that we exist. But it employs about 100 people in our organization, probably a few more than that. And we're set to receive about a 30% increase in funding this next year as a result of the Student Success Act. And we're very excited about how that's going to be able to positively affect our programs and provide additional supports for children that are have special needs that are under the age of five.
And for those younger children that need this kind of special help, I would imagine when you compare their outcome, say by age 18, when they've gotten the help sooner, it would seem like you could achieve a better outcome.
You're absolutely right. It's a great point, Kyle. Study after study after study shows that the sooner that you intervene with support with children that are of a younger age, even, you know, preschool, 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, many times the delays that they have can overcome them with some additional support, and they can go into, and many of the kids that start off in EI and ECSE are able to go into public school without any delays at all. So the sooner it's when we get when we are able to serve children sooner in these programs, it really is the most cost-effective and best for them.
Going to take a break. Back in a moment with Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1, and Umpqua Valley Live back from the holiday break at 4 today with Melody Schwegel and I on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Wrapping up our education series, Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District. I didn't get over there last night, but it was a one-year anniversary celebration for the library, and ESD partnered up with the library. That was a long process. How has that partnership been going?
Oh, it's been great. It really has. Chris Wiley, the librarian, has just been phenomenal to work with. Aurora Oberg, who's the children's librarian, has also been just terrific. We continue to find new ways to partner with each other. The ESD manages the room scheduling. We provide the technology support for the library. We actually do some of their scheduling and planning of events for them. And so there's just a tremendous synergy there. We're able to lean on each other for each other's knowledge, and we couldn't be happier about the situation that we found ourselves in there.
So what percentage of your local staff ended up being housed in that part of the building?
I'm going to guess probably about, at least 50%. We've really grown in the last few years with the needs of the districts and with a little bit of additional state funding through the state school fund. And really we're able to provide so many more services than we did even 5.5, 6 years ago. So we've got about half of our staff at the library. About half of our staff is at our Stevens Street site. We're going through Lance Colley, who's the former city manager in Roseburg, is helping us through a strategic facilities study. So we need to do something with that building on Stevens, and I'm not sure what it is, but we're going to continue to look for options to either improve or replace that.
Yeah, and that was, I don't remember what that building was historically. I almost want to think that it was maybe a grocery store.
It was a grocery store. Okay. Yeah, I've heard, not being from Roseburg, I'm not sure which brand. I've heard variously Safeways and Mark and Packs and other things. But yes, it's just a big, it started out as a big open space.
And so with people housed in both places, now with the growth, you really want to figure out, you know, do you build somewhere else, or do you just move some of the staff into a third place or whatever?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a really, it's an exciting time, but it really presents some logistical challenges. We're having the growth in the number of students that are in early intervention and early childhood special ed has been dramatic. In the last probably 6 years, we've doubled the number of children that we serve in EI and ECSE, that's early intervention, early childhood special ed, in Douglas County. We're now well over 400 kids a year, and that goes up by probably about 20% a year. So that's causing a lot of pressure for us to find additional classroom space. We have classrooms in Green and in Yonkala and South Umpqua. It's I think facilities is going to be on our radar for probably the next few years.
So are other education service districts around the state seeing similar levels of growth?
I think everyone is growing moderately. I think we're sort of growing explosively. Part of the reason that we do that, or that's happening, is that I think because of our work with the city and the City of Roseburg Library, we're really seen as a good partner, and we're anxious to be of whatever service we can to other organizations. So there's oftentimes we get asked to do things that are, you know, maybe not purely in our mission, but are to the benefit of students or families or to school districts. And that's a broad enough description, I guess, to get us at least interested in talking with people. So we've been asked to take on, well, like this foster education program. We're looking at it. We've really expanded our behavioral supports to school districts. And now with the Student Success Act, we're being charged with really helping the districts perform outreach to the community and support them as they try to hire more teachers and train them up to be as good as they can be.
One question I get periodically is that, okay, it's the Douglas ESD, but yet it seems like you operate in other counties as well. Explain how that works, and is that unusual?
Well, no. I mean, some ESDs have multiple counties that they operate in. We have just Douglas County, with the exception of Reedsport, which is actually served by the ESD in Coos Bay. But no, it isn't unusual, because most of our revenue, while we have a tax base and we do get an allocation from the state school fund, much of the work we do is as we term it, entrepreneurial. We will apply through a competitive grant process with the state of Oregon, and that's usually through the Department of Education, for contracts to provide a particular service in an area. Sometimes that's, for example, our early learning hub. That was a competitive process. We applied for it. We are the early learning hub for Douglas County, Klamath County, and Lake County. So we have the largest early learning hub footprint in the state of Oregon. But and with that comes funding, and with funding comes people to do the work. So that's how we get involved in other counties.
Now, you talk about the funding a bit. Is that a bit of a juggle to have funding coming from so many different sources?
Oh, man. Yes, it's much more difficult to budget and to operate the finances of an education service district versus a school district. School districts, by and large, have really the state of Oregon to thank for the revenue that comes to them. And ESDs have literally dozens, depending on the ESD, and ours is one of those. We have literally dozens of funds and revenue streams, I should say, that come to us.
Now, to wrap things up, what's ahead for the ESD in terms of other things you'd like to be doing that you're not doing now?
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. I wish I'd prepared better for that. I think we are always interested in expanding options for early childhood. If we could find a partner to be involved with childcare, for example, we'd be very interested in that. I think we're very interested, and our board has set us a goal of establishing a parenting resource center somewhere in Douglas County, not necessarily Roseburg. So we want to be a resource for parents, for families, and of course children and districts. So anything that we can do to further that mission is right where we want to be.
Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District, thanks for coming in.
I appreciate it, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.